Welcome to the podcast. Today it's Pat and Stu in for Glenn, who's on vacation. He's back next week. So today we talked about the shaming from the media at people who went outside on Memorial Day weekend. If you went to the beach, you're the enemy, and the media was all over it, especially if you happen to live in a red state, I've noticed. It seems to be one of their big parts of criticism. Plus, we point to an amazing story that took an amazing twist from Canada as it relates to this. We'll go into that today. We'll talk about more criticism from the left on Amazon and how evil they are, not paying enough taxes, Pat.
And they make a lot of money, so they really shouldn't even exist.
Because it makes you bad. You know, billionaires shouldn't exist. We learned that during the campaign.
They should not.
Should you be paying more taxes than you're required to pay?
Yes, clearly.
An interesting question that even Bernie Sanders seems to agree with us on, but we'll get into that as well. 888-727-BECK is the number to call in. We'll be back tomorrow with more. And don't forget to subscribe to Pat Gray Unleashed. Is the podcast available on this network. Of course, watch it on Blaze TV as well. You can subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/Glenn. Use the promo code Glenn for $10 off. You can also subscribe to Stu Does America, available on this podcast platform. Just go over, click subscribe. You can always rate and review as well and make us very, very happy. And go to YouTube, where you can watch all the shows. Just go to YouTube, search for Stu, and you'll see Stu Does America. Pat Gray Unleashed is there as well. And, of course, the Glenn Beck program. Here's today's podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Pat and Stu for Glenn on the Glenn Beck program, 888-727-BECK. You know, this kiss in the park in Canada where a guy approached a girl and spontaneously kissed her. The CBC apparently broadcast that. Now they've apologized because he didn't ask her in advance or whatever if he could kiss her, and people are pissed off on her behalf. Well, wait a minute. If she's not mad, why do you care? Right. You can't. You're not the judge of that. She is. And she enjoyed it. And clearly, everybody knows that.
And what's empowering for a woman here? Is it that some, male executive gets to decide, that was a non-consensual situation, or that she gets to decide that it's a non-consensual situation or
she's
not?
She's the one that should. Does that mean that there can be no spontaneity anymore in a romance at all?
Yeah.
You can never just kiss somebody.
Right. I mean, it's part of the magic, right?
Yes.
Like, if you're just saying, ma'am, I am thinking about putting my lips on your lips. Would you mind signing this notarized? We'll get it notarized, then we can have the kiss afterwards. But would you sign this form? And we'll have our lawyers negotiate.
In triplicate, please. Sign here, initial here, exactly. Sign there, and initial right there.
Like that loses the magic of a first kiss, does it not?
Yeah, big time.
I mean, if you were to survey the audience right now, every happily married couple, take 100 happily married couples, and ask them on their first kiss, did you ask for permission mm-hmm. to start that kiss? With outward, permission. Obviously, we all get physical signals, right? Like, that's mm-hmm. how most people would try to calculate whether they're allowed to do it or not. Does she seem into it? Does he seem into it? Then you go for it, right? I mean, that's kind of how it usually goes. There's a leaning. There's a certain amount of leaning towards each other that indicates the kiss is coming. There's mm-hmm. all these things. This is a dance, right? This is supposed to be something that's not easily defined. That's the magic of a relationship. So instead, there's this thing where you have to have it down in black and white. And if you said, asked 100 people, what would the percentage be who actually physically asked, may I kiss you or can I kiss you?
It's got to be 20%.
Yeah, 20%. 10%. Maybe there could be a reason why you might do it. It might be a romantic ask in a certain
especially if it was 10 years ago or more. The chances, I think, go way down. The chances that you said, may I kiss you? Because I mean, my wife kissed me on our first kiss.
Oh my God.
And she did
not. Was it
not,
a non-consensual?
She did not ask my permission, Stu. She did not ask me if it was okay. In fact, she jumped me and practically knocked me over the railing into her parents' bushes. I barely caught my balance. She just leapt in and went for it. And she did not say, "May I kiss you, please?"
Mm. Now, this is stunning to me because, look, I love your wife's cookies,
mm-hmm.
which sounds more flirtatious than it is. He actually has a cookie company, mm-hmm. scrumptiouscookie.com, correct?
Exactly right.
Right.
Yes.
I would like to go buy more cookies there, but I'm a little, after this non-consensual news, I'm
I
a
know,
little,
right?
I don't know if I want to support a
You're
business like that.
You're a little disgusted by her, right?
Yeah.
And yes, it was, 37 years ago, mm-hmm. but still, that doesn't make it right.
Well, I can see
that
the echoes of that
right.
event in your
do you
soul.
See, do you see that I'm still a little bit troubled by it?
Yeah. No, look, we can go back and watch. You watch the Mad Men era, right? Where like every secretary went by and got groped as they were bringing their copies to the executives. No one wants to go back to that. I mean, we're not.
No,
no one's arguing that. There was a clip actually that happened. Relatively recently, was a news anchor was filing a report, and I want to say someone came by and like gave her a little like slap on the butt as they were walking by, and she got and like completely inappropriate, wrong, obviously. And there's a good example for you should be outraged. I would be outraged if that happened to my wife. I would be freaking pissed off, right?
Yes.
And so I understand that, like, yes. totally. That's a totally different situation than someone being kissed. And outwardly telling you she's excited about it, and mm-hmm. you still apologize for it, and basically call this guy a rapist.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's terrible.
You're telling...
It's just ridiculous.
When you have him on camera, you've given his name, and then you're saying he was engaging in non-consensual behavior. Like, what is this guy's life like today? I guess if you've seen the clip, everyone would say, come on, that's ridiculous. But still, you now have it kind of on your record till the end of time.
When there's no victim, by the way.
No victim.
No victim at all.
That's a victimless crime right there.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's a real crime now. So I don't know. I have no idea. Even though your terrible origin story of your relationship, which sounds so devastating for you.
Yeah, it was horrifying.
It was horrifying. That aside, I keep thinking to myself, good God, I'm glad I don't have to date in this environment.
Oh,
I would have no
man.
Idea what the hell to do. I would have no idea. I feel for you if you're out there trying this right now.
And especially in the workplace, how do you meet anybody at work now? You can't, right? You can't even approach somebody in a romantic way at work.
Yeah. And that's,
otherwise, it's sexual harassment.
That was my only chance, too. Because, I mean, look, I don't have a game. Not a guy who could... who could achieve... there wasn't a lot of picking up in bars that was going to go on in my life. The only chance I ever had was being around long enough to annoy them into to entertaining the idea. That was basically my only approach. And it worked at least once. So, yeah, you have that going on. The work thing is a big part, especially if you think back, Pat, to, in our industry in particular... this is as dumb of an industry as it is. It's one that you are constantly working, especially when you're young in your career.
Yeah.
If you're not working 20 hours a day, you get nowhere in this industry. Because there's a lot of people who want to be on the radio and want all their free concert tickets and all the crap that goes along with radio as you're coming up in it. A lot of people want to do it. So you have to outwork everybody. You have no time to do anything. There's no partying. There's no, you might get a little bit of that here and there, but generally speaking, it's just one of those industries where you're working for no money, really long hours, doing work that no one else wants to do. That's essentially your first 10 years in the industry for most people.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a situation. It is not conducive at all to going out and dating people who aren't also in your industry.
Yeah.
It's
working
difficult.
Weekends, working nights, working holidays.
Yeah.
All of that stuff.
I think back to my wife, who's also in radio. No surprise. She would have New Year's Eve gigs every New Year's Eve. And so if you think about like the typical New Year's Eve couples thing that you do, you're out somewhere, the ball comes down and you kiss your significant other. Kind of like that typical thing that happens. I know with you, Pat, you make out with random strangers on the street usually in that moment.
Like crazy.
So for 15, 20 years, myself and my wife, she would be on stage doing a countdown at some club because that was what she did. And I would be sitting by myself at the bar watching, waiting for her to be done so we could go home together. But there was none of that stuff happened because she was always on stage, randomly making out with other people. Which, no, I'm not kidding. That didn't happen. Pat was there one time, but forget it. So my point is, that is like, it takes you out of that realm. And a lot of jobs are like that. It's not just radio. When you're really, busting your butt to try to get somewhere in your career, those are the people you're around. So now you can't do anything with them. You apparently can't even, if you meet someone randomly in the park and spend a day with them, you can't even kiss them, even when they want that to happen. I would have no idea how to navigate these waters. I don't know. I would have absolutely no clue. And if you're trying to do it, especially if you were someone who maybe had a relationship early, that a long-term relationship when you were, you know, let's say you're in your early 20s, you're in a long-term relationship, maybe you get married, you get divorced, and now you're back on the dating scene, and you're trying to jump back into that world after already dealing with it. I don't know how anybody would do it. Look at this. This woman in a park had that's a nice origin story, isn't it?
I think so.
Right? Like if they get married 30 years from now, they're going to be like, so we're in the park and we're hanging out and I had to go to a store and I came back, she was gone, but she left her number. And I really wanted to contact her. I was so excited. And then I saw her across the park. She was in the middle of a news interview. And I just walked right in and I gave her a kiss. And that's how mommy and daddy met. How I met your mother. Right?
Those are awesome stories.
Yeah, that would be a great story. Yeah.
Now, I thought this one was going to end differently because when he first kissed her, I thought, oh, she's going to be pissed.
Yeah.
And nope, the exact opposite. Yeah. And so then you're fine. Okay, well, it turned out well. So now they got something to tell their grandkids if that worked out.
It's a nice story. And I'll say, you know, to the point of the whole coronavirus part of this, we act as if you can think about this. You're taking everybody in their 20s who's single, whose entire life for the past few years has been go to a bar, try to meet girls, go to a bar, try to meet guys. It's courtship. You're in that period of your life where that's a big part of it, right? And you're basically saying with this shutdown, just turn it all off for a few months. Like, that is not something you can just do easily. This is an entire world where you're saying no courtship, essentially, in your prime courtship era. Just turn it off for a few months. And you know what? Maybe it's 18 months. Maybe it's until we get a vaccine. Could be a few years. Like, that's completely insane. It's a foundational part of it's a building block, literally, of the human existence of our species.
Yeah.
You can't just turn it off. How would you meet people if you're not allowed to go near another human being? How do you have a relationship? You're asking these people. Some people who, what if you're dating someone and it's like you're on the borderline? Does this continue? Does it not? Well, I guess it doesn't because we can't see each other. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a big ask. And the fact that people want to go out and be at a pool within 6 feet of each other after multiple months of not being able to see another human being is not, it's not a crazy instinct. It's not.
No.
You do your best, right? We can't turn society off. It's not just the economy. It is society. Here we are talking about the reason our species continues to exist, right? Like, it's that big of a deal if you extend it long enough. You kind of have to allow some of that to happen.
Well, like you said, we don't even know how long this continues. They've been telling us, what, it might last up to 18 months. It might last up to 18 months. I mean, you know, with the economy, that's absurd. But with relationships, it's dangerous to civilization, right?
What is the, like, everyone's like, oh, there's going to be this big birth boom in quarantine, which I don't know if that has happened. I kind of tend to doubt
people
it.
People who are already married, maybe?
Yeah, maybe, although I tend to think everyone was just disgusted with each other after a couple of weeks. I mean, it's potentially revealing from my own situation, but I think, like, generally speaking, people are just disgusted. Uh-huh. That's why everyone's got puppies. There's no baby boom coming. There's just a puppy boom. That's all there is.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
It's Pat and Stu for Glenn on the Glenn Beck program. He's on vacation this week. And he's eating really healthily. He just ordered 5 dozen of our cookies from my wife's cookie company, which is scrumptiouscookie.com.
Yes.
If you'd like to order some for yourself. And we just opened this up to 8 more states. So that's
nice.
That's just a start. We're doing the West. Then we're going to do, I don't know where we go from here, but hopefully soon everything will be opened up. But scrumptiouscookie.com if you'd like to get some delicious cookies.
And you've opened up a factory in Wuhan, I understand.
In Wuhan,
congratulations.
Yes. So you can get the COVID-19 chocolate chip cookie.
Delicious. It's really worth it. Delicious. I would say I would get COVID-19 to eat one of your wife's chocolate chip cookies. They're delicious.
Ordered 5 dozen of them. This is after, what, 2 or 3 dozen last week. and a couple dozen the week before. So look for him to come back a little more visible than he's even been up until this point, because there will be more of him mm-hmm. to view.
Does anyone else, is anyone else getting these cookies? Is it like for the house, or is it just Glenn? Just Glenn.
It's just him.
He keeps him in like a bathroom like cabinet. And just as he sneaks in and eats a cookie every time he goes.
I don't know, man. But he has been, for sure, our biggest client so far.
In many ways.
In many ways.
In many ways.
Yes.
Those are delicious, and I can understand that order. However, I will say this is very common. Maybe not with your cookies in particular, but people are just eating like tomorrow.
Yeah, well, because it's comforting, right?
It is.
You just, I mean, things are so different and we've been turned upside down. And so you just want some kind of comfort. And so you turn to food.
Yeah. And I kept thinking to myself, you know, we would go out to eat. Maybe my wife and I would have date night or whatever on the weekend. We go out and have a nice dinner if we can. And we were saving that money for a while. And I thought to myself, you know, what I should do is spend that money on food that I can have shipped to me. So I was going on that Gold Belly. You ever use Gold Belly? That's one of those sites.
I haven't. It's basically like a DoorDash or whatever.
No, not exactly. So Uber Eats will deliver from restaurants around you, right?
Yeah.
DoorDash, Gold Belly is like all of the best foods from all around the country. So it's almost like a national DoorDash in a way. So like if you want a New York pizza from the New York place, they will get it and they freeze it and send it to you, and it comes directly from the place. So the best, you know, cakes and cookies, and you should get on there with the cookie company.
For sure.
Pies, everything, the famous
ones.
Is
it expensive?
And it is. It's on the expensive side for sure.
Yeah.
Because it's quick shipping. But like, again, like if I'm going to spend on a normal, I'll go to a normal restaurant around here that might be okay. And you're going to spend what, $30 per person or whatever. You can, if you're going to spend $30 a person, you can get the best, you know, pizza, or like I ordered some place that sent lasagna. It was unbelievable. Like I was like, again, you know, you're reheating it and stuff, but hey, why not?
Still,
I'm in a quarantine. I might as well get the best food from around the country, was my theory.
I like that though. That's a good idea.
It's also a great way to gain weight.
Yes.
Because then you get large portions of delicious food from around the country, mm-hmm. and you can just kind of just dive in whenever you want. And that's a really not a great thing for your physique.
No. And my problem is I'm the only one in my house doing that. So I'm becoming extraordinarily large. Mm-hmm. I've outgrown the house now. I have to live in a separate.
Oh, no.
Yeah. A separate domicile from the rest of my family, because they're all doing healthier stuff.
Oh, I hate those people.
Oh, they make me sick. My wife is full-fledged vegetarian now for probably 6 or 8 months. One of my sons has become a vegetarian, but only about 3 weeks worth, but he's doing really well not eating meat for 3 weeks. Mm. And one of my daughters, also not eating meat. And they're all on this health kick of vegetables every night. Sorry, I'm not joining you in that, quite clearly.
will you accept the vegetables on the side of your steak or no?
No.
No?
Nope.
Not even on the side.
Nowhere on my plate. No.
It is an interesting thing. You know, I talked to the guy who is the CEO of Impossible Foods. You know, the Impossible Burger?
Yeah.
And it was something that you guys taste tested on the air live with real meat and the Impossible Burger.
And couldn't tell the difference.
Couldn't tell the difference. In fact, I think you both said that the Impossible Burger was the real burger.
I think we did, yeah.
Which was crazy.
Was that in the Burger King test? Is that
It was another place.
Oh yeah, the higher end one.
Yeah, the higher end one. And so I was talking to him, and what was interesting about him, I thought, was he is like, you know, look, he wants to make a burger that people eat instead of meat. Like it's out, his goal is to win that battle, but he wants to do it within capitalism. And he was talking about the great things that capitalism has accomplished, and how he's not looking for government help. He's not going to shame anyone into eating it.
And this guy's probably not conservative, right?
Yeah, I don't know what his politics are. He definitely was friendly to capitalism. Definitely, like, didn't he said it a couple times? He said, look, what we want from the government is for them to get out of our way so we can do our thing.
Nice.
Like I love hearing that.
Yeah.
I don't even get that from Exxon anymore. Right?
I
can't get a freaking company to say the free market does anything. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting it from the guy who's making, you know, vegetarian meat products. I can get it from him, but I can't get it from, BP.
Yeah.
What happened? I don't understand.
They've all caved.
They all act as if the free market is this evil thing. And here, you know, here's a guy who's saying like, look, we want to win this battle because our product is not as good as meat, but better. We want people to like it more.
You got to love that attitude.
That's a great attitude. I really liked hearing that. It was a really interesting conversation, and I think he's you like the someone who's going to, you know, he was a scientist and he left this to start this company, and he's built. I mean, I you know it is as you know as well. It tastes really really good, and you know whether you like it, it's up to you. But I like that he's like, you know, free choice. Like the only way that this is going to happen, he brought up a great example of in China, they. The Chinese government told their people to cut meat intake by, I think, like 50%. He's like, you know, the Chinese government has some success level with convincing people to do things in their country. Like, I basically control it. And as he pointed out, like, they basically did nothing. They didn't change their habits at all. He's like, if the Chinese government's threats won't stop you to change your habits... trying to convince people to not eat meat or say, hey, you know what? It's really good for the environment or whatever is not going to change their habits. What's going to change their habits is if they like it more.
Offer them a better alternative.
Exactly.
Brilliant.
And, yeah. And he's like, you know, we're going to, you know, eventually get to the point where this is cheaper than meat that you're traditionally getting.
We're not there yet.
We're not there
eventually.
Yet. It's not there yet, but it's getting there. You know, that you'll like, he's like, it'll be healthier. You'll like it more. Like, you know, again, it's his company. He's saying good things about it, but I just love the approach. The fact that he wasn't trying to shame us into it. He wasn't trying to say, he even said, he's like, you know, I don't want a farm bill that helps our company. I want them out of our way. Like, wow.
That's really refreshing.
Yeah, it kind of is. He actually mentioned your taste test with you and Glenn on, he did a podcast. Have you heard of How I Built This?
I think I have, yeah.
It's one where they basically profile companies and they actually mentioned, they mentioned Glenn in the middle of this and the taste test that you guys did. The guy, the CEO of the company saw the video. So listen to this clip. It's from How I Built This from NPR.
Just last year, you upgraded the recipe for the burger and then you began rolling it out at grocery stores and then at Burger King, which introduced the Impossible Whopper that people went crazy for. And then Applebee's and White Castle and all these other chains started selling it, and people loved it. I mean, I think even like Glenn Beck, you know, people like who are like you would imagine would go after vegetarians or like they loved it, right?
He was hilarious. Did you see that video?
Yeah.
Oh, it's hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah, Glenn Beck is like, this is great. I can't tell the difference. And you went from, like, just, you know, David Chang and a couple restaurants in 2016 to now, they're everywhere.
And see, the surprising thing there is that they've discovered that conservatives will like something if it's quality. Well, we don't care about the ideology. If it tastes as good or better than meat, I'll definitely eat it. It's just like we've been saying for years, give me an alternative to an SUV, to gasoline-powered engines that is viable all the time, where I can, you know, I don't have to completely turn my life upside down to use it.
Yeah.
And we'll use it.
That's what Elon Musk has tried to do, right? With Tesla.
Yep.
You know, we have one of the producers here at The Blaze who has installed the solar panels and Tesla batteries in their house. and every month he sends me a text. He's like, check this out. It's just his electricity bill. It's like 10 cents. Like legitimately like 10 cents for the month.
Provide an alternative. Right. We'll use it.
He liked it. He likes it better. And it works great for him. I mean, it might not work if you're in some cloudy area. Or I don't know how, you know, like there's certain differences in different places. But he's in Texas. And it works great for him. He basically pays nothing for electricity now that he's paid for the system.
Wow.
And so those things, I think... that's how you win these battles. You don't win the battle by saying, well, you know, you're a bad person if you don't do the thing that I want. The same way, by the way, when we talk about the COVID thing that we're dealing with now, you're never going to win the battle by screaming at someone not wearing a mask in a grocery store. Like, if you believe the thing...
That doesn't help the cause at all.
Try to convince people, try to show them, you know, lead by example, be cool, you know, talk to somebody about, like, why you think this is, you know, is the right thing, but if it's not, you know, you do your own thing. That sort of stuff is much more effective than screaming at people in a grocery store. That's insanity. Mm-hmm. Yet, that's the left's approach to everything. Every one of these issues. You know what? Yo, well, you're a bad person if you use too much electricity. You're a bad person if you eat meat. You're a bad person if you don't wear a mask. Mm-hmm. You're bad. You're bad. You're bad. You're bad. Well, I'm sorry. We see you. You're not that great. You know, you can't, you know, if I read it, you know, in the Bible, I mean, people have a tough enough time listening to that. And that's the ultimate authority. I think I can listen to you because of your stupid Instagram comments. Because you've shamed me at a beach? Doesn't work on anybody, does it?
No. That's why this approach from, what's his name? The inventor of the Impossible Burger?
Pat Brown.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's why that's such a great approach.
It's a great approach.
Yeah, make a good product and people will just gravitate toward it.
Yeah. I have a decent amount of people. I'm a vegetarian. I will say Glenn Beck does come after vegetarians. Me. But
almost every day.
Almost every day. But most people in my life aren't idiots like me. And so they eat.
Lisa's
whatever
not
they
a vegetarian, nope, is she?
She's not, but she loves that Impossible Burger, man. A lot of them, because of course I order it because I like it. They try it and then they wind up just ordering it because they like it.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that's how you win. That's how you win that battle. You're not going to win that battle by guilting people and putting scary videos on the internet. And that is not how that happens. I think it's a great. It's a nice approach to hear. It was nice to hear a freaking person in business say something good about the free market for once.
And I'm sorry, what show was that part of?
Oh, Stu Does America.
Stu Does America.
Yes.
Where would I find that?
Well, you can go to YouTube, search for Stu.
Okay.
And I'll be the first one there. Watch every episode for free or sign up on podcast.
Fascinating.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program. And don't forget, rate us on iTunes.
And Stu for Glenn, 888-727-BECK. Anthony Fauci says that if America doesn't reopen soon, it will suffer irreparable damage. Totally
true.
Reasonable.
Yes, I would agree.
And totally reasonable. And thank you for finally saying it.
Yeah. It's smart for him to say.
It is smart for him to say. I wish he would have said it before this, but I can't argue with that. He has been saying all along, I'm the medical guy. I'm the one who tells you what to do medically. I'm not the economy guy. Although now he is saying we can't stay locked down forever because it will destroy the economy.
And it will.
So it will. Of course it will.
And that's why, if you want to look at this in a positive light of what we've attempted to do here. You could look at it like a panic room, right? Someone's breaking into your house. You go into your panic room. You lock the doors down. You wait for police to come. But that's a temporary solution. It's not an extensive solution. If you stay in your panic room for the rest of your life, you eventually just die, right? Like that's not a good. It's not a good idea. It's a temporary horrible. It's a horrible solution to a problem that is massive. Like locking yourself in a room in your home with no windows is not a good solution for almost any situation. Just one situation it's a good solution for, which is there's someone breaking into your house with a gun. This is the same thing that we have attempted here, whether you can argue whether you like the results or not. I think everyone understands that it's terrible for the economy. It does have long-lasting repercussions, and it will be damaging the longer it goes on. You can't let this stuff go forever. And places like L.A. County in particular, even New York is opening up. L.A. Right. County's like, August 2026, we're going to start. That's going to be 25% capacity at restaurants. I was like, wait a minute. I can't believe how many people live and the conservative movement, too, are dealing with life in L.A. County right now. Mm. That's got to be.
Yeah.
That's got to be hell.
Yes. And it will be hell again if they shut us down again, if there's a second wave. That's what I'm a little nervous about, is the second wave, if it comes. And it might.
It might.
There might be a second wave. And then, they will insist once again that we shut down the economy again. And we've got to be ready to say, no, not this time. We're not doing that.
Yeah, that was one of the initial solutions they were talking about, which was you lock it down first, get the disease down low, and then every time you have a new outbreak, you just lock it down again for another month.
Jeez.
And you're like 2 months in regular life and then back for a month in lockdown and back and forth until we have a vaccine. I can't, that's just screwing with people's heads.
Yeah.
I don't know that you could deal with that. I don't know how society would handle something like that, especially American society. They did
not
a lot
well.
Of this stuff.
We wouldn't handle that well.
Yeah. Like there's a lot of places that attempted things like this in Asia. But it's a totally different culture, right? Like it's a culture that is much more used to dealing with the government telling you you're not leaving your home for a certain amount of time. This is totally foreign to the American culture. And look, we gave it this time. It was obviously a serious thing. I mean, these numbers are higher than almost anyone predicted. But still, like, we did that. We need to find a way going forward. We gave you your time to prepare. There's a lot of sacrifice has already been done. We have to be able to go back to normal life at some level, even if it's with some precautions. It's only sensible.
And even our overlord, Anthony Fauci, is saying that.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.